scorched the Twin Cities in recent years. He's a master bread baker. He concluded the Cold War with a special loaf of bread he baked, especially for Mikhail Gorbachev. And, he is the guy who made St. Agnes's loaf rise.
Come on!
He's also a bad Catholic, as you might have presumed from that, or gathered. And he's the author of several collections, some collaborative books. I have two of them at home, which I love, and especially the one with the nuns on the cover, and I can't remember the name of it. God damn it.
But anyway, Lark.
Yes. Yes.
Up for a Lark.
Up for a Lark. And so now, without further ado, please welcome St. Paul's soon-to-be mayor for life, yes. Danny Klecko.
All right. Cleveland, St. Paul, nice to be here. All right, before I get started, have to thank John, have to thank Diane for everything. I had two recent books, Danny Klecko's British Hindu Bible and Houdini and St. Paul, can be yours for free. I'm going to leave them up here. If you leave any money behind, it all goes to Diane. Nice round of applause for her for supporting all the poets of Cleveland. Tracy Morrell, I'm just like so in love with you. I mean, it's like providence that we got to meet each other after a long time. And it's interesting, being a poet, I sometimes have trouble expressing myself. But it's true. But I still don't even know what to say to her. It's just so weird being with her, and I love her. And my set starts in 3, 2, 1. Hitmen in the kitchen. About a month before I moved out of my parents' house, two hitmen stood in our kitchen. They were high school friends of my mother's second husband, visiting on a walkover, wearing Italian suits that cost more than my car. When the whiskey bottle was empty, the ashtrays full, the contract killers hinted it would be convenient to crash at our place. My mother answered by not answering. The following morning, she entertained whimsy by trying to imagine the daily routine of an assassin, deducing they probably took their meals at restaurants. Their love from paydays, and you just had to figure they had all of their laundry sent out. I thought about it for a second, looking up from my cereal bowl, replying, if I had to make people disappear for a living, I'd wash my own clothes to bring some normalcy to life. We both laughed until our eyes met, and then we became frightened. Thank you. The Witch of Hastings offered me tea on the porch, a beverage I felt awkward handling. Even so, I clutched the dainty cup, realizing it was an alternative to departure. She told me she was a lazy witch, never taking time to memorize spells, kind of like a Christian that doesn't learn their scriptures. Then we sat in silence. And as I slurped Earl Grey, I couldn't help but think, my priest would damn her theology. My wife scorn her beauty, but neither of them would understand. It was her calm that held me captive.
Thank you.
So, I've run a commercial bakery for 30 years. I've baked from world leaders to gangbangers, and it's an honor feeding not one city, but two cities every single day. The only day this phone gets shut off is when I'm reading in Cleveland or a wedding anniversary, right? But a couple years ago, the bakery was in trouble. I mean, we were literally within days of pulling the plug, right? It was a tough time, and at the same time, my daughter, who deserted me to go live with a boy in Merriam in Omaha, was gonna have her second child, my first grandson, up all night. If I end up losing my job, I think I'll switch careers and apply to be a guardian angel. I'll bet they'll start me off on the third shift, hovering over headboards, fulfilling my responsibilities in stillness. And should that solitude become daunting, I would simply regain focus, issuing prayers, poems, and dreams amidst moonlight and night lights. And if I should grow weary, I would rock ever so slow, humming psalms of protection to the squeaking of a hamster wheel. And when the daylight finally breaks, I'll probably wonder why I was needed. As I stare into the waking eyes of a child born so pure, there is no reason yet to renounce evil.
Thank you.
So, a couple years ago, I had a cookbook deal, Minnesota Historical Society, you know, and like I said, I begged for them all. I begged for Gorbachev, Reagan, Bush W., presidents from South Africa, Cher, Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, all these people. You know, it's not like I hang with them, but you get a beg for them. So what's the first cookbook they want me to do? K9 Nation, Baking for My Best Friends, a dog biscuit, recipe book, right? Swear to God. So, I get shipped out to New York City, Martha Stewart Radio. I'd never been to New York City, right? And 23 hours I have. I spent the first 19 hours in Irish bars, and that gave me 4 hours left with 2 hours of sleep. I had 2 hours left, and I spent 45 minutes in Central Park. Between the hours of 3-4, on the bench adjacent to ours, sat a man who was not put together. A man at the end of some battle. Big drops of rain began to fall, raindrops by the tablespoon. The man refused to move. A woman with a terrier stopped as if she knew him, offering dry escort underneath her umbrella. The man began to cry. What determines luck? Who makes up the rules? Why is value attached to everything except me? The woman sat by his side and put her arm on his shoulder. In silence, the umbrella twirled until she offered explanation. Everything will be fine, just not today. Thank you. Any Polacks in the room? If you're a Polack who has a Polish grandmother, 3, 2, 1. Under an almost supermoon, as usual. We shared indifference, we shared darkness from opposite ends of a park bench. Like goddamn gargoyles with nothing left to defend. Distracted by classifieds, my comic book posed the question, do you know how to pick up chicks? I didn't, so I was intrigued. Grandma slid over and hung over my shoulder like some mind-reading vulture. Lighting the evening's final cigarette, she offered advice. Don't forget, you're a Polack. And not very smart, which means you'll have to work twice as hard if you want to land a good woman. And then she stared into the distance. Stared with a look a boy couldn't be expected to understand until years later, when someone had not kept his heart safe. Promises get broken every day. Contracts and covenants strangle well-meaning souls. So, maybe my mean grandmother was a blessing. Especially when she reminded me, I'm a Polack and not very smart. But, at least, I'm easy on the eyes because I look just like her. Before I go with my last poem, none of this would be possible without the love and basement of Jerry Rice, who's in the audience, for putting this on. I might have to submit to you, there might be a new wine shipment coming into Cleveland next week, because most of it's gone after last night. But it was a great time, and your whole family is beautiful, and I have fondness and complete love in my heart. I can't thank you enough. Here we go. This is if ever there's Polacks in here, so I'm sure there's Catholics, and I don't know if there's any bad Catholics, but if there are, it's dedicated to you. And once again, thanks everyone. I've had the time of my life, Cleveland. 13 years old. Tom Thumb closes at 11 p.m. At 11:06, a bondo pulls up, and two nuns pop out and bum-rush the door. They're in need of cigarettes. But the cashier, she must be a Lutheran. Because she refused to answer the lady's prayers, so the brides of Christ are in a black mood. And they brush past me and a friend who have spent most of July in this parking lot. Excuse me, sister, I called out. Would you like a Marlboro Red? I lit it for her as she pulled back her wimple, exposing her hair, closing her eyes. And when that smoke shot down the pipe, the Holy Spirit gave me reason to know. For the first time, I was absolved. I'm Danny Clegg. Pray for my soul.
Danny Klecko! I would beg you to buy his fabulous books, Houdini of St. Paul.